Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from today's appointed Psalm, Psalm number 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. This is the text, my dear brother and sister. Today we are running a special on sermons. It's a 2-for-1. So to speak. One is a lesson about the book of Psalms, and the second part is a specific lesson that we get out of Psalm number 1. First, then, the book of Psalms was the hymnal of the Old Testament, and the Psalms are all written in poetry. They don't have rhyme and rhythm like poetry does in English, like one word brings about the other one. Jack and Jill went up the mountain. No, went up the hill. So we have rhyme and rhythm that makes it easy for us to memorize. The Psalms were not written in rhyme and rhythm, but in a literary style called, fancily, semantic parallelism. Semantic is something that relates to words and their value. Parallelism, they run together like train tracks, or paralegal, somebody that works with a lawyer, or paramedic, somebody that works with a doctor. Semantic parallelism is when one word brings about the next. For example, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Wicked, sinners, mockers, all bad news, all related words. You stand with your legs, you walk with your legs, you stand with your legs, and then you fold your legs and sit down. It's a progressive downhill. You walk in the way of sinners and you listen to what they are saying. You like it and you stand. And the next thing, they get you to join their group. Sit down. Get it? So blessed is the man who does not do these things, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, etc. So Psalms are written in this style, and it was part of the duty of the family father to learn them by heart and teach it to the mother and to the children of the family. Talk about a great responsibility of a father. It was a good custom in the Old Testament, and I wish that we would still have this custom in which every father would fully assume their responsibilities of being a guide and a protector of the family, with the guidance and the protection he himself receives from God. Do you realize that 95% of our prison population in America comes from a fatherless home? You want to fix the social problem of crime, fix the family. But you cannot legislate love and morality, can you? You cannot legislate marriage, that a father would stick it out. That has to come from within. Hence the unlimited importance of the church to teach us how to be good fathers. We look at the Father of all providence and how he gave his Son for the salvation of the world, to come and lift off the threat of sin from our shoulders and the threat of death, so that we may focus on productive things like serving one another and playing out fully the roles assigned to us by God. My father, a parochial school teacher, always said that we should read a poem every day. And he did. After dinner, he pulled out the hymnal and read a hymn. Hymns are poems. He used to say that if you can put and express your problems in poetry, it must not be that bad after all. Pull yourself together with a nice poem and go on with life. My mother, on the hand, like your mother's too, was a stickler for a balanced diet. Cannot live on cake alone. You must eat the meat, the potatoes, and the vegetables. She insisted on that. I think God insists on a spiritually balanced diet. Meat and potatoes are the Old Testament, the epistles, the gospel readings. Daniel, go into the lion's den. Daniel, are you still with us? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you were only three. How come I see four in there now? Elijah, get up, eat, drink, sleep, for the journey ahead of you is tough. 40 days of walking. That's meat and potatoes, all right? For by grace you have been saved through faith, not by works, lest anyone should boast. That's meat and potatoes, all right? Carrying his cross, they went out for him to be crucified. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Meat and potatoes, all right? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want dessert, the icing on the cake. You can take that and eat it. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I, of course, sometimes suspect that that also means that I will never want in the department of trouble and sorrow and suffering. The Lord gives it out to us, does he not? He dishes it out all for our own good. But our own good doesn't feel so good sometimes. Should I then stop believing or questioning God's love for me? No. The Bible says in all things, all means all, in all things he works for the benefit of those who love him. Get it? So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Be still and know that I am God. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who love him. The Psalms make you belong, make you feel like you belong to the family of God. One night at 3 a.m, I came back from Children's Hospital. My wife and my son were there, my son in intensive care, hanging in the balance between life and death. Our daughter was sleeping over at friends because we had to go to the hospital. It was 3 a.m. and I looked at my boat and I looked at my car in the garage. They were there, but I did not derive any comfort whatsoever from them. I walked into the kitchen and here was the TV and the refrigerator and the sink, everything else. But they did not comfort. I felt lonely. I felt abandoned by the Lord. I felt completely sorry for myself. I went into my study. All my books and my things were there, but no comfort came from them. And then I read some Psalms. You are one of us, Martino. Do not be afraid. The Lord has rescued you. He has embraced you into his family. You are His. You are not alone. Look at the angels. And Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the witnesses, all the company of heaven, all the Christians from day one on that are already in the triumphant church, they're cheering us on. How could I not compete? How could I not put my best foot forward? Why would I want to quit? Keep going, they yell at us. Your timid footsteps lengthen. We bartered our blood. Put in your effort. Lean in. He's talking about being trees planted by streams of water that will never wither, that will be predictable. Where is the tree? There. That's where it sunk its roots. In season, it will produce its fruit, dependable. The tree will never wither because the source of the strength of the tree, the streams of water, is God Himself. In a way, you came to the streams of water this morning. Planted in the house of the Lord, you are. And here, there will be no shortage of nourishment for your soul, of guidance for your life, of courage to tackle the tasks ahead. Now, chaff is problematic. You know, in the olden days, they used to spread a canvas and then put, for example, beans in the middle and then run the tractors over. In the Old Testament, the tractors were the oxen. So they would trample that and free the beans from the husks. The husks would work itself on the perimeter of the canvas, and they would be hay eventually, feed for the cattle. But the chaff, the wind would blow it away. The chaff didn't even stay and fight in the rink. This chaff is nuisance. The chaff is nothing. For 4 years, I was exposed to chaff working in a rice plantation. I think it has something to do with me going back to college so I don't have to do this work. But the chaff is terrible. It itches so when it settles around your neck and around your body that you draw blood itching yourself. You'd rather bleed to death than endure the itch of the chaff. I didn't get to ride in the combine. I was in the hay rack behind it, which cannot be seen because it is always in a cloud of dust. That's the chaff that causes so much trouble. Chaff is totally unreliable. So the psalmist draws this beautiful lesson from nature, comparing Christians to a tree and the unbelievers to chaff that the wind blows away. Where is the chaff? Let me see. Oh, the wind comes from there. It must be that way. Chaff is not stable, produces no fruit, has no abiding residence, has no roots. Chaff is bad news. Now, the chaff also needs to hear the word of God, and something marvelous happens when we do share the word of God, be it meat and potatoes or dessert, be it the full doctrinal teachings of the Bible, or just an inviting psalm. It sprouts like that mustard seed of which our Lord spoke. All we have to do is to sow it. We don't know how it grows like that farmer, but we know it grows. For the Lord attached a guarantee to the seed of the gospel. it will not come back to me empty. That's better than a money-back guarantee. Think about it. You and I have it. The world needs it. Let's give it to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.